Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yud Parsha Noach Sicha Bei Gimel Sicha Gimel. Kimedub of Kama Pa'omim Shadarkish or Rashi Bepirushi Al Teira Levar Kol Davar Akosha Al Derech Hapshat. As we spoke a number of times, that Rashi answers anything, any difficulty that there is in the pshat. But pirush aksuvim in the meaning of the psukim on the simple level. But im yesh kushik v'kosu v'ein Rashi b'tarza. And if there's a question in the pasuk and Rashi doesn't give the answer, harei ze gufa yichachash ateretz muvun u'pashut ad kedei kach, that this, the answer to this question is so obvious and so simple, she'ein Rashi tzorach l'farshe, that Rashi doesn't have to spell it out. It's so simple, he doesn't have to explain it. Oyesh ateretz muvun al pi mashu kosu Rashi l'fneze, or another alternative is that maybe Rashi already said something earlier which would also answer this question. In our Parsha it says that Noach knew that the water had receded from the earth by sending the dove out of the teva, and the dove brought back. She came back, and behold, there was a leaf of an olive tree plucked in its beak. So he knew that the water has receded, it's time to go out. In the simple understanding of these psukim, this leaves difficulties. Why? It's related in regards to the mabul in earlier psukim. Shenifku kol mayonis toim rabba, that all of the waters, the well springs of water from the deep down, deep beneath the ground, and as well varuvas hashemayim etochu, and so all those well springs were split open, and the water rose up from the earth, and also the windows of heaven of the sky were opened. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the water rushed over the earth for 150 days. And it's because of this that all the living beings that walked the earth were died and so on, were the birds and animals and chaya, the domesticated animals, non-domesticated, and he erased all everything that existed over on the face of the earth, and they were erased from the earth. In other words, that it was a very powerful rushing water and everything died. So from this we understand, so would be self-understood that any tree or any grass, any growing thing would not have remained in the same situation. All of it would have become destroyed. So the question is, where did the dove find a leaf from an olive tree? Why would that leaf still be around almost a year later, after 150 days underwater? And Rashi doesn't explain. We don't find anywhere that Rashi should explain where did this leaf come from. The Medrash mevi bazeh beis deis. The Medrash does give two opinions about where the leaf came from. Sheviya ha'ola mishabshushim oy mahara mishcha. that the bird brought the leaf from shoots which were on, or from the whether it was from the harazesim sheberetz Yisrael, ki beretz Yisrael leyarad amabul, because in Eretz Yisrael there was no mabul, didn't come down in Eretz Yisrael, because of Eretz leimet tuharahi, as it says in Yecheskel that it's a land which was not put through a cleansing, v'loy gushma b'yoyim zam, and it was not rained upon on the day of anger. So in other words, that in Eretz Yisrael there was no mabul. So that's where it came from. It came from Eretz Yisrael. Another interpretation is Sheniftachu lo Sharei Gan Eden. So in the Medrash it gives another explanation that the gates of Gan Eden were open for the bird. Ve'hivia sa'ola misham, and it brought the leaf from within Gan Eden. Avalein loyma shashitas Rashi pshudas mikri echad mebeis deyaselo. But you can't say really that Rashi's approach is, because Rashi is based on pshudas mikri, the simple reading, that it's that Rashi follows one of these two explanations. Key, because number one, havalei l'Rashi l'farshim, then Rashi should have said, he should have said, where did the leaf come from, and explain. Number two, pirushim elu einam al derech hapshat, these two explanations are certainly not part of the simple understanding. Because the explanation that it was brought from Gan Eden, you can't say that that's, even though we can understand that even in the simple reading you would say that in Gan Eden there was no mabul. Why? The reason for the mabul was because the people had become corrupted in their ways, and all their thoughts and so on were only corrupted all day. So, or as the Pasuk also says, that the earth became corrupted before Hashem, and it became full of dishonesty. And since that was the reason for the Mabul, Gan Eden lo yishayach kol zois, in Gan Eden none of this happened, so therefore there would be no reason to bring a Mabul on Gan Eden. So even according to Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's clear that in Gan Eden there wouldn't have been a Mabul. Still difficult to say that this pshat that it came from Gan Eden is al pi pshuto shel mikra. Why? Because eich efshel loymar shenichnas hayoyin el Gan Eden. How is it possible that the dove could have gotten into Gan Eden according to pshuto shel mikra? Ve'hivia misham al izayis, to bring a leaf from there. Varei mefurish, because of it says clearly in the pasuk earlier, ve'yashkim mikedem el Gan Eden es kruvim, that Hashem placed in front of Gan Eden those angels, Veslaba, Cherva, Misapeches, and with their flaming swords that were revolving and so on, Lishmer, to guard the entrance to Gan Eden. So Aknisa leGan Eden, V'yevshel leKonos leShem. In other words, that Hashem put angels with swords and fire in front of Gan Eden, that you can't get in there. So how would, according to Pshuto Shel Mikra, how would the bird ever get in there? And even more of an issue, Kavonas Noach Hoisa Liras Hakalu Amayim Al Pnei Adoma. Why did Noach send the bird to begin with? He sent the dove to see if the water is receded so that we can come out of the teva. Umar Ra Yedezesh Yivia Olazayis Megan Eden. So what did it prove to him that the bird brought a leaf from Gan Eden where there was no mabul to begin with? So what does that show? There was no Gan Eden, there was no mabul there. So what does it help him? How does it help him that the bird brought a leaf from Gan Eden? And for this same reason also, it's hard to explain the second explanation about Eretz Yisrael, Mar Raya Shekolam Mayim Aloras, because what proof is there that the water has receded from the rest of the world? Because the bird brought a leaf from Eretz Yisrael, Sholei Yored Ba Mabul, in which the Mabul didn't fall in the first place. So what does it help Noach bringing him a leaf from Gan Eden or from Eretz Yisrael to tell him about what he needs to do in the rest of the world? And even though, according to this opinion, that in Eretz Yisrael it didn't rain, and that's where the leaf came from, it's true that the water from the rest of the surrounding countries would have flowed into Eretz Yisrael. There was no wall of protecting Eretz Yisrael. So if it rained and there was all kinds of water coming down, hundreds of feet of water coming down, certainly that it would have flowed into Eretz Yisrael too. So therefore, maybe that's somewhat of a proof that in Eretz Yisrael, it's already things are growing and so on. Maybe it's an indication. But we could still all understand that there's no comparison in a place where it didn't rain to begin with, and also the water didn't flow up from under the ground to flood Eretz Yisrael. There wasn't as much water in Eretz Yisrael. And also not the rushing water and the power of the water. And therefore the water wouldn't have penetrated so deeply into the ground in Eretz Yisrael. So certainly in Eretz Yisrael the water would have dried up much earlier than anywhere else in the world. So all the best that you could say is from the fact that the dove brought back an olive leaf would only show that in Eretz Yisrael the earth has dried up. But how did he know what's the situation in the rest of the world outside of Eretz Yisrael? So therefore, even al pipshuto shel mikra, even if we accept, as we most likely have to, that in Eretz Yisrael there was also flooding, but since the flooding would have been at a much lesser degree than anywhere else in the world, so the fact that the bird brought back leaves from Eretz Yisrael would not have told him what the situation is in the rest of the world. So therefore that question still needs to be answered, because these two explanations that the Medrash gives do not really fit with Pshuto Shel Mikra. Gimel, Noitzav al Zeh, in addition to this, al pi Pshuto Shel Mikra tzorach leimer asher yorad ha-mabul be'etz Yisrael. The truth is that in the simple meaning, the simple reading of the story, we have to say that the mabul also fell in Eretz Yisrael. Well, Bahagdin, by first explaining, how do we know that? Because the Medrash may be Beis Deis Bepirush HaKosov. The Medrash brings two opinions about the meaning of the following pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Chamesh Esrei Amam El Maila, 15 Amas high, Gavru Amayim VeEchasu Ha'arim. The waters, raged 15 Amas high, and they covered the top of the mountains. So that pasuk needs, what is exactly does it mean? There are two opinions in the Medrash. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Chamesh Esrei Amah Bahar V'Chamesh Esrei Amah Babika. Rabbi Yehuda says that there were 15 Amas above the surface on the highest mountain, and the same 15 Amas in the valley. So in other words, if you picture, the water went up and down according to the contours of the topography. Reb Nechemia says no. Tesvav Amah Bahar, it was 15 Amas above the tallest mountain. But in the valley it was whatever it was. If you measure from the 15 Amas above the tallest mountain, you just have to figure out how deep it went by whatever valley it was in, according to the depth of the valley, whether it's high or low. In other words, according to Reb Nechemiah, the top of the water was equal everywhere, and whatever was going on below is depending on the topography, what's going on down there. So that's the machlokes in the Medrash. Rashi bepirusha ala posik mefarish. What does Rashi say about this? Chamesh esrei amos mamayla. He says lamayla shol kol goyva kol aharim. Rashi goes according to Reb Nechemiah. He says that it was the height of the tallest mountain, and it was 15 amos above that. After the water leveled out above the tallest mountain, which is the opinion of Nechemiah, that the water was uniform across the whole world. But the reason for this is why he says like Reb Nechemiah. Because if there's no reason to say that Hashem created a special miracle to make this happen, It goes against the simple understanding of the Psukim that there was this great miracle. The great miracle is that the water, which usually levels out, over here, it stayed 15 amas above every surface that it was. As difficult that is, as miraculous as that is, and the Torah doesn't make any mention of it at all. In our case, so in other words, that's true everywhere. If there's no reason to say that there was a miracle, and there would be a miracle, then the Torah would certainly point it out. So therefore, in our case, there was a great miracle that happened. That the water did not flow from the high point down to the low point, which is, of course, the normal flow of water, Mahar Lubika, from the mountain to the valley, and that this went on for a very long time. But of course, it's completely contrary to nature. And even when the Eibishter made the miracle of the splitting of the Yamsuf, it also says that there was a wind that had to blow to keep the water up. So in other words, over here, it doesn't say anything described. There would have been winds going on in every direction in order to keep that water in such a uniform 15 amas above every surface. In addition to this, this is a miracle. What was the reason that Hashem needed this miracle that there should be 15 amas above every surface rather than just a very high 15 amas above the highest surface? But Pashta, another thing, but Pashta Sloshna Kosov Hamash Esri Amamul Milo, Mashmal Milo, the Goiva Kolaharim. The way the Pasuk says it, 15 amas above, means, the simple meaning would mean above the highest surface. Number three, Mitzat Teichen Inyan. Just the story itself, Ladasra Nechemia, Muvan Loma Nocha Teva Al Hori Arora Dafke. According to Nehemiah, we understand why the Teva landed on Hari Ararat. Why? Even though this presented a new difficulty for Noach, which is that he would have to climb down from Hari Ararat once he got out of the Teva. But it's understood naturally why. Because Hari Ararat are from the highest mountains in the area. So when the waters began to recede, of course, what became exposed first was the highest point. And therefore that would have been the first place that the Teva could have landed, because the water went down the highest place. The highest point would be the first place that the Teva could land it. Which is of course the reason why the Teva landed there. I'm not sure whether it's that Noach guided it there or Hashem guided it there in order for it to happen, but that's the first place that became exposed, and therefore that's the place that the Teva landed. But if according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that the depth of the water was equal every single place in the world, Tesvav Amam Umayla, always 15 amas high, Benechzer Amayim Shishim Yoim, and then the waters receded for 60 days, Hayna B'chol Makom B'Shabbat, that means that it receded everywhere, it evaporated, let's call it everywhere equally. Lama Nocha Teva Dafke B'Hari Ararat, so then why did the Teva have to land all the way in Hari Ararat, all the way up there? It could have just as easily landed somewhere in a valley, because it was going down at the same rate everywhere in the world, and therefore it should have landed wherever it landed. That's why it makes more sense for these reasons to say that the Pshat is like Reb Nechemia, that it was one level for the water above everything. So according to this, in Noyim Shabbat Yisrael, Yared HaMabul, according to this, that the water was very high above the highest mountain. So if we say that in Eretz Yisrael there was no Mabul, Gamim Zormu Boil Lusham Mayim Arzus Sviva, even if the water did flow down, as the nature of water is that it would flow down to a place where there is no water, but Pashtus Kol Lusham Mayim Lifnei Shara Arzus, then obviously the simple meaning would be, the simple reading would be that the water would have dried up in Eretz Yisrael before anywhere else, as we said before. So then why did the Teva land on Hari Ararat? It should have landed in Eretz Yisrael, it should have landed even earlier in Eretz Yisrael, because there was water there, so the because of the flowing water from the surrounding countries, and the Teva could have floated there, and there it would have dried up much earlier than anywhere else. So why didn't the Teva land in Eretz Yisrael? So therefore, Valkein Sarach Loimar, and therefore we must say, Shal Derech HaPshat, that from a Pshat perspective, Gam Be'etz Yisrael, Yordam Mabel, that in Eretz Yisrael there was also a Mabel, and therefore the water over there was just as problematic as anywhere else in the world. And therefore there would be no reason why we would expect the Teva to land Afghan Eretz Yisrael. Hari Arad was higher, so it landed over there. So therefore we must say that according to Pshat, it rained even in Eretz Yisrael. So we get back to the original question, where did this olive leaf come from? So we'll understand this by first explaining another few questions about this pasuk. Mevor because of shaydei sheviyas ha'ola zayis yodaneh shekalu amayim ala oretz. It's written in the pasuk that because the dove brought back this olive leaf, Noach knew that the waters had dried up, let's say, on that they're gone from the earth. Shakavana bazeh sheyoder lo yirak shamayim haya hala v'chaser, meaning to say, not only did he understand that the water was receding, going down, kizeh yitzchol zman har v'lifneitzer, because that already started many long time before. Bavade yoder noyachal dvar zeh shalinochat teva, and certainly that Noach knew that the water was going down because the teva had landed long before that. So he knew that it was going down already. And as the pasuk already says, that the water had gone down, had dried up already before the dove was sent by Noach. So ki'im. So therefore, what did he want to know by sending the dove? Gam kalos amayim at kol kach shekvar yesh makom she kavur zman kotzer yim Noach. So what he wanted to know was, he knew that the teva landed already, he knew that the water was already dried up, but he needed to know that the earth was ready to receive people. You could walk the face of the earth, you're not going to sink into the mud and so on. That's what he was looking for. So then the question is, what is the fact that he brought back, that the dove brought back a leaf from a tree? How does that show that you can now walk on the ground? It's quite possible that where did the bird find it? On the top of a tall mountain, there is a tree. Over there, the tree is growing. In fact, we know that the teva was on a high mountain, so therefore the bird could have found it somewhere on a tree on that high mountain. It could have found it on the top of that tree. And at that height, of course, there was no water for a long time already. But what does that say about the water that's sloshing around low down on the ground? Over there it dried up a long time before. So how does bringing a leaf that may have come from some very high point on a mountain, on the top of a tree, tell you anything about whether you're going to be able to walk if the water is gone from the earth? So that's not one question. Why does the Torah point out that it was a leaf from an olive tree? Why is it that dafke from an olive tree and not some other tree? Especially that the pasuk actually points out that it was from an olive tree. In other words, it's significant in some way. The Torah doesn't say, and vihine ola befiv, doesn't say there was a leaf in his mouth. Who cares which tree it's from? Why is it important what kind of a leaf it was? So those are two questions that need to be explained, which will help us understand the other question. So the explanation of this is, in a number of places it's brought in Chazal, that an olive tree is a very strong tree. And it's also in the simple understanding, it's understood that an olive tree is a very strong tree. Because if in facts there's no reason to make a difference to say that according to halacha it's one way, according to the facts it's different, no reason to do that. So therefore, if halacha says it's so, that it's a strong tree, so then it is a strong tree. As a matter of fact, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, I saw a tree, olive trees that are 2,000 years old. They're still growing. They're still there. And when a five-year-old student sees an olive tree, take if yafchin shechazaku, you could see that it has this strength to it. Therefore, it's quite reasonable to say, the simple understanding of things, the afshahuya mabul chazak, that even though the mabul was very powerful and very destructive, still, from all the many, many millions of olive trees that existed in the world, a few of them could have made it through the mabul, a strong tree. And there is, from millions that exist, a few got through. But on the other hand, it makes no sense to say that the leaves that were on those trees from before the mabul, even though they're strong and so on, tough, that the leaves that were on the trees and went through such a mabul remained in the same, they retained their fresh, I shouldn't say fresh, but they retain their look of a leaf. And the waters of the mabul were very powerful. And the leaves would have been submerged under the water for many, many months in a row. So that they should remain in their original state, that you can tell that it is a ale zayis, is difficult to say. So therefore, we have to say that what the bird brought was a new leaf which had grown after the mabul. As a little bit, some time may have passed already from when this tree became exposed, no longer submerged under the water. And once the tree was no longer covered in water, and it began to sprout new leaves, until this leaf which the dove brought had grown fresh after the mabul. And therefore, from that, Noach already was able to move this. What it was showing him was a tree had become exposed. It had already started to sprout. And now this is the leaf that the bird brought. That shows that the water is going down. The tree is already exposed for a while already, because it already started growing new leaves. Which explains why the pasuk says that it was an olive leaf. Because that explains where did this bird find this leaf. And the answer is because an olive tree is a very powerful tree, and therefore it was able to get through. It was able to get through the mabul without being destroyed. And then as soon as it was exposed, it began to grow leaves. And this explains also another question that could be asked. How did Noach know by the evidence of this leaf that the water had gone down? How did Noach know where the bird got the leaf? Maybe he found it floating on top of the water, picked it up from the water and brought it to Noach. But based on this whole explanation that we just gave, that it was a leaf that had grown after the mabul. And Noach, of course, was able to tell because there's a very big difference between a leaf that just grew, that it's a fresh leaf that just got picked off the tree, and a leaf which has been floating in the water or soaking in the water for close to a year. That is very obvious. So therefore, Noach knew that this was a new leaf, and therefore it made sense to say that the water had gone down. And to explain explain this a little better, that even a child that sees a leaf from an olive tree will be able to see that it's strong. Rashi spells everything out. He explains everything that he needs to explain. And maybe over here Rashi should have also explained that an Ale Zayas is a strong tree, and therefore it made it through the Mabul, and that's why it was growing leaves. This is not maybe something so obvious to a child. Why doesn't Rashi explain any of it? So now we can explain the Vyashlemish Lepirush Rashi Mefurushu Bekosov, that Rashi understands from the words of the Pasuk itself that this is an obvious thing, that a leaf from an olive tree is a strong leaf. Because it says in the pasuk, "V'hini ale zayis taraf b'fia," the leaf of the olive tree was plucked, torn, in the mouth of the beak of the bird. Pirush Rashi taraf, and Rashi says, "What does taraf mean? Chataf, pulled off, yanked off the tree." Ein Rashi mefarish tevas taraf ba'ifin achar. Rashi doesn't explain the word taraf as other mafarshim explain it, that it has to do with other things, because those explanations are not al pi derech hapshat. He explains it according to the pshat, that it was a leaf that had been torn off the tree. In other words, that the Torah is emphasizing here the word taraf. Why does the Torah have to say taraf? Why doesn't it just say, what's the difference? Taraf. Taraf means the Torah is emphasizing that it had to be pulled off the tree. So the explanation is, number one, first of all, that the Torah is trying to say that it was taken off the place where the bird pulled it off, where it was growing from. Not that the bird found it floating on the water. Number two, to describe the taking a leaf off of an olive tree, the Torah uses the word chot taraf, which means torn off. You have to really work on pulling the leaf off, because it's a very powerful tree. And that's why the Torah, in other words, that the Torah, from the words of the Torah itself, we see already that to get this leaf off the bird had to work to get it off. In other words, that it's a powerful leaf, a powerful tree, and that's why it made it through. And therefore Rashi doesn't need to explain any more than that this is a tree that could make it through the marble. Vav. According to this, we can understand another interesting thing in Rashi. Al ha'posuk v'yashoichu ha'mayim, on the pasuk that where it says that the waters calmed down, the waters of the Mabul calmed down. Pirush Rashi, Rashi explains, "Kemoy kesheich chamas hamelech." It's a similar word. Vayashoich was not a common word. Rashi takes borrows from another place in Tanakh where it says by Achashverosh that when his anger subsided, Loshen Hanochas Chema, which means the subsiding of anger. That Rashi is addressing this because what it says in the Gemara Zvachim, it says over there, Bereischim Kilkalu, that the people of the Doira Mabel, the generation of the Mabel, what their corruption was in passion. So they were also judged with boiling water, that the water of the Chsiv Hocha, because it says over here, that the waters calm down, and over there in the Megillah it says, and the anger of the king calmed down. In other words, that it was the waters were also hot. In other words, that it was boiling water. The water of the Mabul was boiling water. Avalim kavonus Rashi kanal. But if that's what Rashi means to say, that the waters cooled down, in other words, that the Mabul was hot water. So then we have to understand that why is it changes it. The Gemara, it says that the water was boiling water. But Rashi doesn't mention anything about the boiling water, which seems to be the main point of the word kishoich. Or vayashoich hu amayim. Rashi doesn't say anything about that it was hot water. If the Shas has to explain what it means to say vayashoichu, what is nidainu bereischim, that it was boiling water, so then kolshken shirashi avli lefarish. Rashi, of course, that has to explain it on a simple level, would certainly have to point out that it was boiling water. So therefore, that's one reason why we can't say that Rashi holds that it was boiling water, like the Mefarshim want to say. And number two, Rashi Meisiv Loshen Anochas Chema. Rashi adds that it was the subsiding of the anger. In other words, he does add an explanation about what it means, but he doesn't say that it was boiling water. So then why? So it can't be that Rashi holds that it was boiling water, because it doesn't say anything about it. So from this we understand that Rashi does not go with the shita that it was boiling water. In other words, that what it means, what Rashi says, vayashoichu, means that the waters stopped roiling, not that they stopped boiling. Roiling means that it was churning and so on, and that's what subsided, but not that it was boiling water. And therefore, according to Rashi, it was not boiling water. The reason for this could be why he doesn't go with the shita that it was boiling. Because ein hecher b'pshuta shemitah mikra lahaysev nes shahayam ayin reischim. There's no reason in the pshuta shemitah to say that there was another aspect to it, another miraculous aspect, that all the water was boiling. And number two, al pshuta shemitah eich niskayma hateva b'mayim reischim. According to the simple level, if you're saying that it was boiling water, then how did the water, the teva, protect them from that kind of boiling water? That's another, you need another level of protection from that. So this, based on the explanation before, that Rashi is taking the story on a much very natural, you know, at least relatively natural explanation, that's why he also stays away from saying that it was boiling water. The underlying message of Pichsidus from this Rashi. Nizbair b'teira oir b'tam lo menikra mabul benovi mei noyach. And Teira oir explains, why is it called mei noyach, the waters of noyach? In Novi it says that it was called in Yeshaya. Avshin Yonish Al Noyach Haisat Solomon Amabel Vahafchi Vahafchi. Noyach can't be blamed for the Mabel. What do you want from Noyach? He was the good guy. He saved the world or whatever was left from the Mabel. So he is the exact the opposite of the Mabel. Why is it called the waters of Noyach? And the reason is because the Mabel was in order to bring water, in order to purify that which became unclean. Like a mikveh which is also 40 saw, like the Mabel was 40 days, that it cleanses the unclean. So also the Mabel came to cleanse the earth. And that's why it's called Minech, because that caused a calming of the spirits. It brought about a pleasantness or a calming, and therefore it's called Minech. In other words, showing the positive aspect of it. The Gamin Yonashul Noyach was now charged with rebuilding the world anew, but in a good and in a pure way. In other words, that it is the cleansing of the world. Just like Noach was meant to cleanse the world from now on, so also the Mabel cleansed the world. And since we know the rule that anytime something goes in a negative way, it's because it needs to grow to a higher height as a result of it. So we understand that not only did the Mabel bring the world back to its state of purity that it was before, the Chazal the Dargosei Akademis, and it merely went back to its original state. Rather, what is true, that it brought an additional level of purity to the world. And this we also find in a mikveh that it brings a higher degree. That sometimes a mikveh provides not only bringing you back from a state of tumah to a state of tara, but we know that mikveh is often used to bring an additional, a higher level of the state that you are till now. In other words, not just bring you back to a state of tara, but taisus tara, additional level of tara. One reason why we go to the mikveh every day before davening. Al pisa moving yisur na ma'ila b'zeh sha'imrim shal pi pshut shel mikra yod na mabu gam be'etz Yisrael, which can explain why, according to pshut shel mikra, it's dafke that the mabul took place in Etz Yisrael as well. Why does Eretz Yisrael need a Mabel? It's already a holy place. But the reason is that because of the Mabel, it brought an additional state of a higher level of Tara even than Eretz Yisrael had until then. It's a comparison to what it was before.